Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, this is Ralph Krumbach Winterroad II coming to you live with the Ralph Winterroad Show out of Alaska. By the way, I looked up that case, that Menker case. And, Chris, if you just call in and tell him what I forgot what the subject was, what I'm looking for here. So I scanned it, and nothing jumped out at me. So what you thought was in that case. So just call in and leave it with the RBN guy. Anyway, it's just black and white anymore. There is no. It's an unassailable fact. The District of Columbia, with their DC 40 form, uses the form 1040, 145-OMB-145-0074. They use the same W-2s. They use the same W-4s. They use the same 1099s. Everything. And they use the federal income tax in their instruction. The word federal income tax is the same thing in the form 1040. It's all the same as that's all the same. And in DC, it is only citizens of the United States. There's nobody home except that. That's it. These are unassailable facts. Cannot be disputed. And it's unambiguous statutes. They use the same forms. They got to be the same. In the case I just cited before, the TAIT case, Supreme Court case, no matter where you are, you're done. It says so. Is that not starting to get that you got to be a citizen of the United States? Well, the question is, before I go on with the rest of this, how do I get myself out of that fact? Because you go in there and make a statement. I'm not a citizen of the United States. Oh, yes, you are. Do you have a driver's license? Do you have this? Do you register to vote? Yeah, do you have a bank account? Or up in Alaska, you have a permanent fund? Yep, I got jurisdiction. Been there. I've been through all that. Done it all. Didn't know how to prove. I gotta get myself out of like real evidence. How do I do that? There's actually two things you must do. You must get it into the public record who you are, which I got to get that done this week with all the stuff I got just quit. I think I'm getting about to the bottom of the barrel. The time I do, I find something else new, but it's all right. Like I say, how many times you got to hang the suckers? They can hang them. But I must have it in the public record that I am a citizen of Texas or a citizen of California or a citizen of North Carolina, and I'm a domiciled in one of the several states, you name it, and all that. You got to put your picture and all that stuff. I got all this. I just mirrored the naturalization documents. These people write up good stuff. I plagiarized it. I'm guilty. But there's nothing that says I can't. They got smart people writing up this stuff. I just used it to our advantage. You put it in the public record, then you must try to vote as that status, regardless whether they kick you out or not. And then there's one more thing that helps this situation. It's on your passport if you apply for a passport. I've not tried it yet. But on your passport, by the way, it does say citizen/national of the United States on the right-hand side, about halfway down. So you must have this available. It is it's a unambiguous statute codified in 8 United States Code 1101A. 8 United States Code 1101A 22B. You see, the bottom line is when Satan or Baphomet goes up against the Creator, he copies stuff. But there's two sides to everything. It's always there. You just have to find it and then be able to use it and understand it. It says so. 8 U.S.C. 1101A 22B. And what does 22B say? The term, quote, national of the United States, end quote. Okay. Means. Anytime you got means, I've got that researched out. That's the exclusive new definition of the word national of the United States. Wherever national of the United States is used, forget the dang dictionaries. It has nothing to do with anything. Means is the exclusive new use wherever it's used. And they say the term. Means. There's two definitions. A, capital A, a citizen of the United States. Or means what? Well, it's got to be one or the other. It can't be both. I'm either a cat or a dog. Not both. Okay, a citizen of the United States, or B, capital B, a person who, though not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. That is a citizen of one of the several states. So I want to put in my thing that my public record, I put that on my voter registration, modified it, tried to see if I vote. But I put in, I am a citizen of North Carolina, with North Carolina being one of the several states, and I owe permanent allegiance to the United States. Absolutely. It is the supreme law of the land. Because we started off with the Articles of Confederation. And I got to look at something because they were called United Colonies, and somebody sent me, said they changed the word United Colonies to United States. I got to check up on that because that would be explaining why they called them citizens of the United States, which does not have the meaning of citizens of the United States as it's used today. But anyway, getting back to the real issue, there was only legislative power. So therefore, to create a more perfect union, the Constitution for on behalf of the United States of America. It's in the preamble. They created the Constitution of the United States. This terminology is so important. If you do not get it right, I've read these stuff. You read these Supreme Court. These guys know how to flip back and forth between one and the other. And we don't get it because we're not taught to read legalese. It's all codified. And when they codify stuff, they give new meanings to word or words or phrases. So you always have to go to the definitions. Because It's codified just like Morse code. What you're seeing is not what it means. They've given it a new meaning. So you must, three things you must do if you're going to fight. And I don't know why people wouldn't fight for their soul and the Constitution and whatever. You must get it into the public record so you get a, because it becomes self-authenticating. And if they say you're a citizen of the United States, you say, well, I don't see any evidence of that. And under 18 U.S.C. 911, that's a felony. 18 U.S.C. 911, that's a felony. And your evidence is? You're accusing me of a felony. Where's your evidence? I've got something that's self-authenticating. Says I'm not. And they're going to say, oh, well, you've got this over here where you say, no, that's under the law of necessity. There are certain things we do. When they put a gun to your head and say, hey, guess what, or whatever, that's the law of necessity. Number two, you must try to vote as a citizen with your public record on that document. So you give them notice. Whether they take it or not is irrelevant. And you must know how to quote 8 U.S.C. 1101A 22B. You've put it, this is a statute of the United States. We'll call it that. They're not going to argue. That is codified, put into code. And it says, I'm not a citizen of the United States, but I have permanent allegiance to the United States. Now you've got them cornered. You've got something to fight with. They may not want to go there. But you have to have a way to get to show who you are out of the flock of the people that think they're citizens of the United States. Now, I got away with going over to get a driver's license. I crossed it out right in front of her because I wanted to see if they'd take me up on it. They wouldn't touch it. They let me do it. I got a copy. I put citizen of Alaska. She never blinked an eye, but I'm pretty well known up here after about 150 or 170 traffic citations and on and on and on running for governor. And I pounded on about everybody that's poundable up here. But I'm not even close to being done. I'm just getting warmed up now. Those are the three things that are important. You must have it in the public record. You must try to vote. So that then you're exercising your elective franchise. And technically, if one person signed up to vote or to run for off a public office as that status, and he got one vote, he would win. That wouldn't be an easy win. It would take an awful lot to make that all happen because all this stuff is, the whole, like I said, the whole republic's been overthrown because the Baphomet, Satan, is in charge right now. He hoodwinked us all. So let's get back to this other one that I was talking about, which is an amazing case. This is one with the, when I was researching out the National Voter Registration Act, that is that H-E-A-L-D, Held or Held versus D.C., the District of Columbia, and that is cited at 259 U.S. 114, 1922, 259 U.S. 114. And it's about taxation without representation. The D.C. people, which there have been six Supreme Court cases back as of 1922, upholding this decision. It says, finally, it is earnestly contended that the act is void because it subjects the residents of the district to taxation without representation. Residents of the district lack the suffrage. Lack the suffrage. They have no right for any voting on the national government or for a Republican form of government or any of that suffrage, and have politically no voice in the expenditure of the money raised by taxation. Money so raised is paid into the Treasury of the United States, where it is held not in a separate fund for the district, but subject to the disposal of Congress, like other revenues raised by federal statutes. Or federal taxation, I'm sorry. The objection that the tax is void because of these facts is fundamental and comprehensive. It is not limited to the application to the tax of intangibles, but goes to the validity of all taxation of the residents of the district. Everything you got. If sound, it would seem to apply not only to taxes levied upon the residents of the district for the support of the government of the district, but also to those taxes which are levied upon them for the support generally of the government of the United States. Government of the United States. That's technically correct. It is sufficient to say that the objection is not sound. And here's the killer. There is no constitutional provision which so limits the power of Congress that taxes can be imposed only upon those who have political representation. And the cases are many in which laws levying taxes for the support of the government of the district have been enforced during the period in which its residents have been without the right of suffrage. And they've got six Supreme Court cases. Why do you think the 16th Amendment came along? They didn't change anything. It took away the apportionment to the several states. That was good. What did it do? If it's no apportionment to the several states, who do you tax? Oh, you can tax citizens of the United States. Absolutely. There's nothing says you can't tax them then. So we'll just get around and we'll tax citizens of the United States, which we set up back in 1866 and put in the 14th. And we've been working on changing everything around to make this game work. So with the 16th Amendment, well, we just get away with the apportionment of the several states. It says it didn't apply any new taxes. No, it didn't. All it did was took off the restriction of making it apportioned amongst the several states. Well, then why would you want to do that? Where's your tax going to come from? Oh, that's right. We set up a fictional citizen of the United States, which, by the way, since the National Voter Registration Act was challenged, the 10th Amendment don't have any relation. So we set up something outside of the original Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And the 16th Amendment allowed us to pursue taxing those type of entities called a citizen of the United States. See how this all ties together? And they just happened to, when we passed the 16th, well, you know, let's pass the 17th. Because you see, when we start doing this taxation nonsense, well, we can't have the United States show up to pull the fraud off because we don't fall within the Constitution of the United States or the Bill of Rights. No, if you're a citizen of one of the several states or the legislature of the several states, we can't have a constitutional court with, quote, United States, end quote. So let's pass the 17th Amendment. Now, why would that be important? Oh, that's really slick, isn't it? We get around, I'm looking for the Constitution of the United States, because that's really important. I want to quote it exactly. Let's see, where is it here? Right here. Because you see what we did in the 17th Amendment? We took out, we lost one word. This is why you got to read stuff so carefully. Because in Article 1, Section 2, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen by every second year by the people of the several states. People of the several states. Well, you go to the 17th Amendment, you don't find the several states. They just left out the word several and used the word states, people. Then we got several of people of the states. And we redefine what each state. We just define the word state because we're not limited to the several states, so we can redefine it. The several states they couldn't redefine. There it is right there. So now the 17th Amendment opened up the fact that, guess what? Now we can redefine the states. We got people. And if we can snooker them into the being citizens of the United States, which they already think they are, and the 17th did away with the standing of the legislatures of the several states electing senators of the United States, we're good to go. Yay! So we just got around and got rid of the taxation by the assigning it to the several states. Back in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Okay, we're back here. And by the way, that case that brought this up is Adams versus Clinton. And that's 90 F SUP. That's F, capital F as in Frank, period SUPP, 2D, 35. So that's 90 F SUP, 2D, 35, page 50. And that is a D.C. Appellate, or a district of United States District Court in D.C., and it was year 2000. And that's where I found this, because I would have never caught it. And the thing is, the people of the several states is limited to those states where the civil rights is in the privileges and immunities of citizens of the several states. That's the status of all of the people across all of the states. But and I just looked up here briefly. It says people of the several states means, as nearly as is practical, one's man vote in a congressional election is as worth as much as another's. Really? That's a good case. I like that. Because you see, a citizen of the United States, his vote is not the same as a citizen of North Carolina or a citizen of Minnesota or a citizen of Texas. Not the same. I like this. So there's so much to these little things, and that's why Westlaw, if you don't have Westlaw, you have no chance. I'm just telling you. And by the way, I want to bring that up because I'm sitting up here today, wrapped all up in a couple layers of clothes with my sock hat on. I run out of fuel oil, and I got to raise $500 by tomorrow to go over and get fuel oil. Because I've just, my Social Security doesn't cover it, and I used to get money from James and John, and they both quit contributing. So anybody wants to donate, IRS at Alaska, Minuteman.com, and use Walmart, please. The stuff that I'm doing, I don't think anybody's doing, and I'm not trying to brag on it, because I get information just like the guy that called in from Nevada. I get information from Ohio. I get information from Florida. I get information from Carolina, from Minnesota. People give me stuff, and I take a look at it, because I don't know everything. I absolutely don't. And it's not about me. It's about you. It's about our republic. It's about our soul and fighting for the truth. And I'm in this not to make money, just to stay, just to survive. All I'm looking for is just to keep my health and have a warm place and all of the tools to do the job. That's all I'm looking for. So anybody wants to donate to my $500, I'd sure appreciate it. Got to raise that by tomorrow. I'm keeping it around 50 to 55 right now with my oven. I hate to leave the propane on too much because it sucks air out of the thing. Anyways, back to this. Citizen of the United States. There's so many people has fought this with no evidence. You must have evidence. Attachments is really the best thing. I've used a lot of attachments, because I use copies of their, quote, statutes, public law, and they have to take judicial notice of it. They have to. They can't just ignore it. That's what they're doing with us, and you have to put affidavits in. This is the world we live in. So you have to learn the world we live in. First of all, how do I position myself so I have standing as a citizen of one of the several states? You must have it in the public record. Alaska does it. A lot of states won't do it. You must have tried to vote as a citizen of that state, as actually one of the people of that state, as a qualified elector, regardless whether they say yay or nay. Either way, you got them. And you must understand 8 U.S.C. 1101A23B. You have to be able to cite that. Because that says, oh, I'm not a citizen of the United States, but I owe permanent allegiance to the United States. That's me. And then the next thing that's really a killer is the National Voter Registration Act. And I put that out in different pleadings, but I'm going to go over it. Because it's a killer. It's an absolute killer. And the one, if you don't have it, you really need to read it. It's got a ton of information in it. And let me find the actual site here. It's 185 ALR, American Law Review, Fed, FED, period 155, originally published in 2003. That goes into it. There is only elections for the president, and it's not even a lawful election, if you actually want to know it. We haven't had a constitutional, and I don't know if Trump's oath, I'm sure he probably didn't do the right one either. FDR was the first guy. They started inserting the name, so ever since FDR took office, there has never been a constitutional president since, because they haven't taken the proper oath. It's in quotation marks. That's why they put them in quotation marks, so you can't modify them. But it starts off 1993, that's 107 stat, 77 through 109. That's the statute. And where is it codified? Well, first of all, you have to look at the findings of this that's codified today. That's in 52 U.S.C. 20501. 52 U.S.C. 20501. A, findings. Congress finds. Well, let me see, they found something. I could find their Constitution would be good if they found that. Number one, the rights of citizens of the United States to vote is a fundamental right. Oh, really? Okay. To vote. They don't say the right of suffrage. Supreme Court already said they have no right of suffrage. They have no right to the elective franchise. And I've got a cases outside of D.C. that says the same thing. 15th Amendment didn't do anything. You got the right to vote. Okay, you can show up at the building, but there's no suffrage. There's no elective franchise. So that's the first thing. That's where it's codified. The next one that is a killer is 52. These are ones you really should have at your fingertips and understand them. It's 52 U.S.C. 20502. Definitions. Go look and let's see what kind of how they're changing the English language. The term state, in quotation marks, capital S, means a state of the United States and the District of Columbia. Oh, so we're tying the D.C. together with the United States, state of the United States. For citizens of the United States. State of the United States. What happened to the several states? You're using all the same forms. You're using all the same stuff. So, and is a conjunction. They're the same. In the District of Columbia, the District of Columbia is a municipal entity sitting under United States Supreme Court. Shoemaker versus United States, 147 U.S. 282. 147 U.S. 282. And it says down here, when you get down to it, proceeding on the conclusion that the United States possesses full and unlimited jurisdiction, both of the political and municipal nature, over the District of Columbia. So it has full over the municipal nature of the D.C. Well, it's got to be the same thing because it says state of the United States are equal. And they're both citizens of the United States. They use all the same forms. And by golly, Ned, I'm telling you one thing that I absolutely stand on. I will not allow any discrimination on a citizen of the United States. That would be just so terrible. Okay? Gotcha. Really? You got him. Oh, but it gets better. You see, 452 U.S.C. 20502, same statute. Number two, the term, quote, federal office has the meaning in section 30101, number three of this title. This is one of the games they play to try to discourage people from catching on. You got to go somewhere else. They start linking this stuff together. Just like they had the voter registration. Is it another statute? But okay, so let's go look in what federal office is. If they're using the term federal offices, what does it mean? I signed up to be a citizen of the United States, and I'm voting only for a federal office. But here I can prove it statutorily based on the statute codified in 52 U.S.C. 301. Number three, the term federal office, in quotation marks, means office of the president. Doesn't say president of the United States. Office of the president. So then we just did a little thing, or the vice president, comma, or senator or representative in, or delegate resident commissioner to the Congress. So it's a senator or representative in, okay, or that's all that in the Congress. In the Congress. What happened to the senator of the United States, representative of the United States? What happened to president of the United States? Oh, that's right. Let's see. Back in 1935 in the Federal Register Act, we said president of the United States means a federal agency. Or federal agency means president of the United States. That's 1935. Imagine the president of the United States is a federal agency. They print this stuff. So here we are, limiting the elections to strictly an office of the president, vice president, senator, representative, or a delegate or resident commissioner. But you see, in D.C., they say a citizen of the United States has no right of suffrage in the national government. Outside of that, they also say the same thing. Really? Well, who in the heck have we got running the government? We have a fictional government that looks like is not by put in power by citizens of the United States. And by the way, we have no constitutional rights because if you don't have any say-so in the national government, we've got a slight problem there, you think? You think that might be a problem? I would think so. Then we have, this is another reason why they had, this is why the con that's in all these courts, just like in Alaska or in the federal courts, before the jury, if you have a jury of your, quote, peers, in open court, on the record, you have to sit there and the judge, the United States District Court judge, which is nothing but an inquisitor over the Star Chamber, has to get you to sucker you in before jeopardy attaches. So he swears the jury in, and he said, oh, by the way, is there anybody here not a citizen of the United States? Well, they're not going to say anything. They all think they are. Think it's a good thing. And you're sitting there. You just consented to leave your constitutional republic, because you always have to go back to it. That's why they keep all these forms. They always have to keep saying, oh, are you a citizen of the United States under the penalties of perjury, true and corrected, yada, yada, yada. It's always there somewhere. You just agreed that I want to be tried as a citizen of the United States. And oh, by the way, they have to do that because, you see, that is a United States District Court that does not arise under Article 3. That's a Star Chamber. It says so in 28 U.S.C. 132. It says judicial power of a district court. That doesn't equal judicial power of the United States in the Constitution. You have to consent to that. Once you've consented, all game's over. There's no rule of law. There's no anything. Because that judge in his judicial code can do law. In fact, he could do any dang thing he wanted, and you consented by sitting there and saying, oh, I don't have a problem with them citizens of the United States. I wish they don't have a clue what the heck it is. Starting to get the concept of how this con works. It's unbelievable. Why has nobody challenged the judicial power of the district court? I would have a long time ago if I'd understood what was going on. I didn't get it. I'd been conned. I did a case. I sued the troopers for getting me down and working me over in front of my wife. I had a, I don't know what you call it in the shoulder. I forget what the word is. But anyway, I couldn't even reach back and get my billfold out. And the troopers got me on the hood of a car. And they pulled me. That's what precipitated Kim to divorce. She said, I've had enough of this. They pulled me over and I got out because of her. Otherwise, I would never get out of the car. I never got out. As I was walking across the hood with the four of these troopers there, one of them grabs me from behind, pops me down, and takes my arm and puts me behind me and just keeps pumping it, and that shoulder hurt so bad. He just kept pumping it. By the time he let go of it, I went clear to the floor, to the ground. I was just real close to passing out. I mean, it hurt so bad. Unbelievable. And, of course, he went through my pockets and stuff, which he had no authority to do. And amazingly, Kim got out and come back and pounded on the trooper. They didn't charge her, though. And I got in, wouldn't allow me any pencils, because that was a weapon. I appealed it to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I won. Then I sued the suckers. And the judge wouldn't let me bring up the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and I was dumb enough to obey, but I should have just blurted it out. And, of course, I sit there and had a jury of citizens of the United States. Dumber than a rock. And I lost because he wrote the jury instruction up. That's old Judge Singleton. He was a smart old dude. He made some good decisions when he was in the state. Then he got over in the feds, and he joined in. He changed the jury instructions. I knew what he was doing. I went after him to change them. Couldn't. So they found me. They found these guys all not guilty. Well, the way it was worded, there's no way they could have found him guilty. Then I wanted to appeal it back up to the Ninth Circuit, but I didn't have any money. I couldn't go up again. It's lack of money. Because they had just crashed my company, a $2 million company, because of me doing the video for Joyce Riley on the Gulf War Syndrome. These people are pure evil. They took my company down for funding a video on the Gulf War Syndrome. I paid for it. I had money then. Martel kept telling me to get out of politics, and I kept telling them to go put it where the sun don't shine. So they put another dealer up here and got me out of business. It's all right. I have no complaints on anything. If you're going to fight this battle, you got to be willing to lose all of this financial nonsense. None of us will do it. Of course not. I had a $2 million in 1998, and I took out $100,000. I was living the life of Riley, days of wine and roses. By 3 years, I was pretty near. I had to sell a company and went under. That's all right. I have no complaints. I'm wishing more people would go fight. I'm trying to put this information out there with documentation, with real cases. We got Toppin's case. We got is 4-17 Charlie Victor 40011. That's 4-17 Charlie Victor. That's civil 40011. The United States of America does not want to answer the admissions and interrogatories and provide discovery. We went after the state of one of the banks went after Massachusetts. They don't want to answer. We went in. Now that the government's back and put in for them to compel them to answer, and they come back again, Massachusetts and one of the banks, and they're just, well, we don't know anything about anything. U.S. of A. has been silent. And the judge, we put in there about the judge. He wants to do the motion to dismiss. Well, if we don't have a counsel for the United States of America, if the United States of America is a sovereign body politic, which started back in 1913, and I have 110 cases documented in the public record of complaints where they said they are, after 110 times, I think they probably meant it. I don't think it was a typo. And it's in the public record, so anybody can use it. I'll give it to you for free. Cost me almost $200 or something like that to get that put in the public record. That's before I lost my funding from John and James. But we're in the battle. We're not going to surrender. We've got Mooney's case, which is a killer's case. We're going to get that up here into the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. I think I can got that way to get that in there. We've got Rappert's case, which is the writ of habeas corpus ad subjunctium to redo, which is no big deal. But I'm going to add more. I'm going to soup it up some more. That's an amazing. So we got Toppin's case, which is in Massachusetts, which is in the earlier stages of reduced to judgment. We got Mooney's case. They ruled for him. 3 months later, they ruled against him. With no reason given. And we got Rappert's case. Bit of habeas corpus where he spent 20 days and it's not over yet. He hasn't heard from his probation officer, which is quite interesting. But I guess they're waiting to see if we're going to refile. Well, of course we'd refile. So, but like I say, and I really recommend people get on my IRS list. It's $250 postal money order. Or if you can't afford it, you just send me an email at irs@alaskaminuteman.com and tell me why you can't, and I'll still add you. I want this information out. We've got to get people with knowledge. My people die for a lack of knowledge. I don't know what I'm saying. Read this stuff. Real cases. It's really unfortunate what happened to McAlpine, James McAlpine. We won in 2014 on books and records. He was indicted. They put a guy undercover at the dental and went out and played golf with him, and he made a couple of statements. So what? They're not under oath. But anyway, they indicted him and then filed a writ of habeas corpus, and they didn't act on it. And then all of a sudden, Ed Waller, he steps into the picture, and he's got a silver bullet. The misfired, oh, you'll never go to jail. So James went off the plantation, and his indictment covers all the years except the 3 years that the books and records where the IRS walked away. Isn't that amazing how they just skipped those 3 years? They had a, I probably forgot about them, huh? Because they couldn't. They had a civil remedy, and they backed off. And James, unfortunately, got a full-time attorney and pled guilty. He had a plea bargain. Ed Waller's nonsense didn't work. That's this Cupid thing. But I got another case that came in out of California. I think it's California. I haven't validated it, but it looks like that these people won by using some of that type stuff. But they did it, went at it differently. So until I can get a hold of that guy and confirm, because they actually dropped the case and said it was paid in full. So I don't understand it, and I got to prove it. And I tell you one thing, you do not want to proceed forward in areas if you do not understand what's going on, because you'll get your clock cleaned. This citizen of the United States, that's why I put these documents out, is for people to read it and to hopefully try to understand it, or call me if you don't understand something. I get around and I look up stuff for people. I try to talk, answer all the calls. Everything. Because I'm looking for people that want to fight. And I want to give them as much research material as I have, so that you can go fight with knowledge and wisdom. Because it's, I can tell you unequivocally, it's all a con. Our republic has been overthrown. And the root of the tree, the citizen of the United States. If you claim that status, you're toast. You have to get out of that status with evidence. And you must file it in the public record. You must file the voter thing. And you must know 8 U.S.C. 1101A22B. Otherwise, you're not going to go anywhere, because they will run you down. And even with that, they're not going to surrender easily, I guarantee you. These people are corrupt. They're evil. They've been getting away with it for decades, and why would they change? Nobody's taking them on. Not with real evidence. I've seen people claim I'm not a citizen of the United States, and they say, court, oh, well, there's no evidence of that. Or Paul Andrews, he's got some stuff. He's got some good research and some stuff. But you can't just make these statements. You've got to have evidence. You've got to have public records. This is the world we live in. This is how they get reduced to judgments without one iota of sworn testimony in open court. Books and records, they do the same thing. They get you off, and they do, and that court actually calls them an inquisition. You go with an IRS agent, and he said, I'm not here to answer questions. And he don't even know what's going on. He's given a script. This happened in John Thornton's case. He says, well, I'm not satisfied. Well, who to help you? You don't even know the law. We try to ask you something, and you don't know anything. Well, I don't have to answer your question, because I'm an inquisitor. I'm just like in Braveheart. Answer the question. Save yourself. People won't believe it. This citizen of the United States is death. You have no constitutional rights. You have no remedies. You have no right to the form of government. You have nothing. You don't even have the right to own property. This is how we get around with all these cars. There's nobody in America owns cars except I don't know, maybe somebody has. A lady down in Arizona has got the actual MSO. I was been going to try to get into court, and I haven't got to it yet. I think her husband died, and I still haven't got to it yet. But I keep getting these cases that keep blowing up, and I keep learning more. But, God, I can go over to Wasilla that's right there. They sign an attorney-in-fact contract. I give away all right, title, and interest to every brand-new car before it ever leaves the lot. And I've done it more than once. I never read that stuff. They give you a whole stack of stuff to stack, and it's buried in there. Black and white. Nobody owns our cars. The government does. That's right in the Alaska statutes. You go in online on the municipality of Anchorage. That's what started me. Go into Anchorage, look in Title IX. The cops can only write tickets for government-owned or government-driven vehicles. That's in Title IX. That's what started me for years. I spent, I don't know how many thousands, probably tens of thousands of dollars fighting that. And all I had to do was go to Chevrolet.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, we're back here, and one that I'd forgotten about. I've done so much of this, I forget about this stuff. That's why it's good. I got an email here. It says 28 U.S.C. 453. They changed the oath for a judge or justice of the United States. What did they change? This is what why would you need to change the oath of office? They changed under the Constitution, when you do the laws of the United States, for according to the best of my abilities and understanding, agreeable to the Constitution. Agreeable. Well, it kind of looks like might be instead of under the Constitution. Public Law 101-670, 1990. See how they do this stuff? Why would they just leave under the Constitution there? Because that limits it. If we say, according to the best of my abilities and understanding, I'm stupid. I've been paid off, right? And agreeably to the Constitution. Agreeably. Well, it kind of agrees with it. It kind of looks like it's a con. This is the world we live in with these lying, stupid senators. Some of them are just dumber than a rock. That Ocasio-Cortez, she is dumber than a rock and very dangerous. She's a socialist. She's a communist. She's a Marxist. She's an anarchist. No borders. Well, we've got to get rid of all the airplanes. We've got to use trains. I don't know what they're going to use for power batteries. We've got to tunnel all the way to Hawaii. You betcha. Yeah, you betcha. We're going to rebuild every building in the United States. Oh, that's going to really work out well. This stuff is, you couldn't even make a movie, and I don't think make it believable. All I can say is wake up, people. And don't give up on Trump. Looks like I listened to Rush Limbaugh. You don't get everything you want in D.C. when you're fighting the devil at one shot. He's going to build a wall. Yeah, there's some things in that bill that he signed that are not good, and I don't agree with him. But he has made so many inroads against the Democrats and our rhinos and all of these greedy Republicans. Lowest unemployment for all these people. Our economy is booming. We are now self-sufficient on oil and gas. You think we didn't have that before? I worked at Prudhoe Bay. I flew out to Gull Island. They got three wells capped, and it's supposed to be maybe one of the biggest oil finds ever found. And that's the only place I was ever threatened when I flew out there. Do not talk about that. Do not talk to those people, or you will be fired. The only place. I was all over. It's Ohio and Arco. That's when it was divided. And I was up there. I saw this. It happened. Gull Island. There's no oil coming from it. Why? We've always been energy sufficient. Finally, with Trump removing the regulations, now we are the number one guy in the whole world on oil and gas, and we're exporting it. We've always had it. People in the oil patch up at Prudhoe Bay knew about it. But you can't talk about it. If you talk about it, you get fired. And then nobody wants to listen to you anyway. Gull Island. It's off of East Dock out there. I don't know, about a quarter of a mile or so. Not too far offshore. They have an ice bridge they used to build in the winter to go out to it. I flew out there in the summer. Anyway, I hope you learned something. And let's go fight these guys. Watch out for the federalities. They're everywhere. And don't give up on Trump. We're winning. See you next Sunday, God willing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is